Thank you so much. Would you please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, please, for a few moments. Hebrews chapter 10. Glad you're here today. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you for being here. Hebrews chapter 10, thinking about the blood of Jesus, the superior blood. I will explain what I mean by that as we go along today. Hebrews chapter 10, the superior blood. We're going to begin looking in verse number 1. Of chapter 10. Thank you for being here today. So good to see you in the Lord's house on this Lord's day. In verse number 1, the Bible says, the author says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have had no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God.' Previously saying, 'Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law.' Then he said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.' He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man," speaking of Jesus, "but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had spoken and said before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them.' Then he adds, 'Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.' Now whether there is submission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin." May we pray this morning. Father, thank you for this word. I pray that you would bless it today and strengthen it in our lives. May it be used to lift us up, Father, to a closer walk with you, a closer life with Jesus Christ. That is our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. The superior blood. Have you ever noticed how often in the Old Testament, now even here in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, you see the call for what is called blood sacrifices? You look back through the law, and the Lord has allowed me over the last few weeks to be able to go back and study some of these scriptures back in the law, in Exodus and in Numbers and in Deuteronomy. And there is a continual prescribed emphasis upon blood sacrifices. And people have made light of that, and people have a hard time understanding that. It doesn't seem to fit with our postmodern mindset, but yet it is found really throughout Scripture. Even to the very end, to the book of Revelation, Jesus' prophetic name in Revelation is what? The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that has been slain for our sins. Why this continual obsession with the blood? Well, I would imagine that there are many reasons, but just in the way of introduction, let me name one. When we see the blood, we know this. God is very, very serious about human sinfulness. Amen. When we see the blood, it is a reminder that God takes human sinfulness, human rebellion against himself very, very seriously. Now, we live in a day and a time where we don't take sin very seriously anymore as a society. As a matter of fact, we have a hard time even defining what sin is anymore. But even within the church, sometimes we don't take our sins very seriously. We take the sins of others very seriously, but not our own. Those sins maybe that not are on the outside, but those sins that are on the inside, those sins that oftentimes we're guilty of as believers and as Christians. Sometimes we, even ourselves, knowing the penalty that was paid, we do not take sin very seriously, but God does. God is so holy, so pure, so righteous, so clean, so good, He cannot abide or leave unpunished one sin in this world. That's how holy He is, friends. He is that holy, that righteous, that good, that holy, that set apart, that sanctified. He cannot abide one little sin. As human beings, we grade on the curve, right? We look at ourselves and think, well, okay, I know that I'm not perfect, and yes, Pastor, I'm a sinner, but I'm not a sinner like he is or like she is. But with God, there is no distinction. A lawbreaker is a lawbreaker is a lawbreaker in the sight of God. And the scripture is very clear that we have all sinned and come short. We have all broken God's law. And we need something more than just what this earth can give us. Amen. For just a few moments, I want us to think about some of the similarities and some of the differences between the sacrifices in the Old Testament and the sacrifice of Jesus. It's very important that we see this again and again and again. And we're going to be moving out of this phase of Hebrews here very shortly and getting into chapter 11 and thinking about faith and about the faith of those who have come before us. But it's as if the writer of Hebrews, as he is inspired by the Spirit of God, wants to go back one more time and remind us that what Jesus has fulfilled in the Old Covenant now is made known and is made permanent through the New Covenant. So let's look and think about the similarities and the differences between the earthly sacrifices and the sacrifice of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The first one is this. Earthly lambs had to be sacrificed. Earthly lambs had to be sacrificed. Now, perhaps this is self-evident. Perhaps we already understand this. But let me just go back and just say it as plainly as I can. When you look at the earthly lambs, the earthly sacrifices, they had to die is what I'm trying to say here. The blood would be shed. And you think about how often the blood would be shed. And that's what the scripture tells us here. They would have these daily sacrifices. So every day, morning and evening, if nothing else that day, every day, lambs had to die. Every day, earthly lambs would have to be sacrificed. They would be sacrificed continually. It was a very prescribed way. You look throughout the Old Testament and just think about all of the animals that died in that period of the Old Covenant. It is an amazing amount. I don't know that you could really even count it out because you look at all the different sacrifices. The sacrifice of the Passover, for instance, all of the families were to take a lamb and to sacrifice it. That would have been hundreds of thousands of lambs, probably, maybe on that one night alone. And then all the other lambs that took place, and then you see at the dedication of the temple, Solomon's temple, he had what? Tens of thousands of sacrifices in order to dedicate that temple to God? The entirety of the Jewish history, there have been a lot of animals that died. And the scripture tells us here that earthly lambs had to be sacrificed. And of course, we know that Jesus gave himself as the sacrifice for sin. Number two, earthly lambs provided only a temporary covering. They had to be sacrificed, and it was important and it mattered, but they only provided a sense of temporary covering. Now, like I said, I do not want you to think badly of that old covenant. The old covenant was given by God. It is good, it is righteous, it is holy. But it was always pointing towards something else. It was always moving and progressing in a direction of ultimate fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll look back at verse number 1, he says that in the law having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of these things can never, with these same sacrifices, which they will offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then, when not they had ceased to be offered, for the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. You see what he's saying here? See what the author's saying? The blood of bulls and goats was important and it was necessary for a time and a season, but it only provided a sense of temporary covering. And because of that, guess what?
The next day, more sacrifices would be offered. And the sacrifices would be for their sins of the people. And then the next day, more sacrifices. And then every year, the Passover. Every year, the great day of atonement. Every year, the priest would go behind the veil. Why? Because the blood of animals could never fully cleanse and could never fully take away sin. Not like the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. You see, my friends, we need more than sacrifices. We need more than just works and regulations. The Bible says, and the Old Testament prophesies from the Psalm here, that sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. That's found in verse number 5. What's he talking about there? Whose body? I think we know, right? The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body that was given and broken for us. That is the body that would provide permanent cleansing, permanent forgiveness, permanent covering. No, the earthly lambs could not. And so they had to be sacrificed again and again and again. But we needed more. And thanks be to God, there is more. Thanks be to God, there is someone. There is someone who stepped upon a stage. He is referred to here as this man, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who takes away the sin of the world. See, the earthly lambs were important, but they were always going to be surpassed by the one who would be suspended between heaven and earth for you and for me.
Amen.
Number 3, earthly lambs had to be spotless. They had to be spotless. We don't see this very much in this particular passage, but it is something that is mentioned in Hebrews, and I wanted to mention it one more time. Whenever they offered a sacrifice, church family, they had to offer the very best they had. A lamb without spot, without blemish. There could be no disease in it, no visible discoloration, no visible disfigurement. The people could not go out and offer just any lamb or just any sacrifice. It had to be a sacrifice that was spotless as best as it could be. And of course, we know that prefigures Jesus, who is the sinless, spotless Son of God, the one who gave His life for us. Can we think about that for just a moment? As I was preparing to stand before you today, that thought just kept running through my mind and through my brain. Jesus never, ever sinned.
Amen.
Never. In the whole time that He inhabited this planet, He was always exactly, squarely, in the middle of the Father's will. Never sinned. His mind, He never sinned. In His actions, He never sinned. In His words, He never sinned. Can I be honest with you? I can't get through a day.
Amen.
I can't get through a day without sinning. Sometimes even more. I don't say that gleefully and I don't say that proudly. I say that as a broken person, someone who needs Jesus. I understand my sinfulness, and I guess if we're all honest, we're all the same way. Now, maybe we don't do the things, but we understand and know that Jesus said the law doesn't simply judge what we do on the outside. Jesus looks inside of us.
That's right.
In our minds and in our hearts. Those things that we hide from one another. Those things that no one else sees, He sees. And so we are to be judged not simply for what we do on the outside, but in our thinking and in our hearts. Sometimes our hearts are sinful.
Amen.
But in Jesus you see the spotless Lamb of God, completely perfect, dying as the just for the unjust, dying as the righteous for the unrighteous, so that God could still be just and the justifier of all who will believe. Every earthly lamb had to be spotless. And of course, Jesus fulfills this one absolutely perfectly, stunningly. But let me say this before I move on to the next thing. They had to bring their very, very best to God. And we as His people today should do no less. We ought to bring the very best of our efforts. The very best of our service. The very best of what we have to God today. Not because we're trying to gain salvation or earn it or anything like that. No, because of what He has done for us. May we give of our best. Too often we as believers give our leftovers. We go and do what we want to do, and if there's anything left over, we'll give that to God. But I pray that we'll give of our very best. We won't have this attitude with, well, it's covered, it's okay, good enough is good enough, all these things, because here's what happens. If we don't give of our best here in the church, we're sending out a signal to the people in the community and to the people who see us that if we don't give our best, then what we're doing is not really important. That's what they hear and that's what they see. We can say anything we want to, but if we don't give of our best, the unseen and the unwritten message that we're giving off is, it's really not that important. So if we don't give of our best in the church, we're telling people with our actions, hey, it's not really that big a deal, it's not really that important. But when we see what Scripture says, I think we all understand and know it's very important. Jesus is the only hope. Jesus is the only way. The gospel is the only message whereby we must be saved. So let's get out of the way and let's give the very best that we have in order that the gospel message may go forth. If the people had to bring of their best in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant, may we bring our best, ourselves, our living sacrifices ourselves before the Lord. Number four. Now let's talk about Jesus for a moment. Jesus offered himself as the Lamb of God. He established the new covenant by fulfilling the old covenant. That is an exciting thing to think about. In Jesus Christ, the old covenant, all of the law was fulfilled. It was all fulfilled. He is the Lamb of God. He is the whole burnt offering. He is the one that gave himself for us. He is our peace offering, taking away our sins and nailing them to the cross. He offered himself as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, John says in the Gospel of John, that takes away the very sin of the world. Sacrifice and burnt offerings will never be enough. No, a body was needed. The body of the Son of God. The body of the spotless one. The body who has established this new covenant. You see, here's a big difference between the old and the new. In the old covenant, many lambs were offered. Many animals died day after day after day. But in the new covenant, there is one lamb.
Amen.
One lamb of God. One lamb slain before the foundation of the world. One sacrifice for sins. And he offered himself as the Lamb of God. And then in verse number 10, it says, by this we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Sanctified. What does that mean? Means to be set apart, to be made holy. It's mentioned here in the past tense. We have been sanctified. In other contexts, sanctification is what is happening now. We are being sanctified and we are to pursue sanctification. We are to pursue relationship with God and growth and maturity and move beyond the milk of the Word into the meat of the world. And there's coming a day when we shall be ultimately sanctified. When we stand in the very presence of Jesus, ultimately sanctified. People want to know, why do we as Baptists believe in security? Why do we believe that those who have truly come to Christ are secure? Well, it's because of verses such as this. We have been sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus for Christ once and for all. In verse number 14, he says, for by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Jesus offered himself as the Lamb of God. Jesus also offered himself once and for all. He offered himself once and for all. Of course, we remember this from last week, and I will not spend a lot of time here because we covered this fairly thoroughly. But I wanted to mention it one last time. This is one of the great sacrifices. This is obviously the greatest sacrifice, and this is one of the greatest comparisons and the greatest contrast between the old and the new covenant, is how it all centers on Jesus. How it all comes together in His work and in His ministry. And as He walked upon this earth, if you look, you'll see those signs. You'll see those markers of Him fulfilling and becoming and continuing and ultimately dying for our sinfulness. He offered Himself once for all. And there is, listen now, there is no other offering. There is no other sacrifice that is coming. He is set down at the right hand of God. Now that means many things. That means authority. That means the fact of equalness with God. But it also means this. It means completion. And the Bible says that Jesus is sat down at the right hand of the Father. Why is He sat down? Because His work and His ministry is complete. There is no need for any other sacrifice. There is no need for any other Savior because there is no other sacrifice. There is no other Savior. He offered Himself once for all, complete, perfect, forever. Jesus also purifies us through His blood. He purifies us. He has perfected forever, and we have been made righteous through His blood. Every day. Every day for almost 1,500 years, the blood would flow. And listen, I know this is difficult for us to hear. We don't think about this very often today. We're far removed, for the most part, from the days of having to kill our own animals for food. I know some of you still do, but for the most part, we don't do that much anymore. We're not very familiar with blood in our society, for the most part. So I know that it's almost offensive to even think about, but it's important. Every single day the blood flowed. Every single day it would come. But it was never totally enough. But in Jesus there is purification. We are made clean. In the book of Revelation, those believers, those martyrs were given what? White robes to wear. Clean and pure. When John saw Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, he was wearing a white robe, and his hair and his head were white as snow. White, absolute purity, absolute cleanliness before God. He purifies us. He takes away our sin. That's how much He loves you.
Amen.
That's how much He cares. He understands and knows that we needed more than just works. We needed more than what we could do. And I'm thankful that He came and gave Himself for us. The lambs had to be sacrificed, but Jesus offered Himself willingly. We understand that, right? They didn't murder Jesus. Not really. Jesus died willingly for us. He could have stopped it at any moment. He said so. I could have called legions of angels to come down and free me from this cross, He said. He died willingly, voluntarily, offered Himself once for all. Because we deserved it? No, no. 1,000 times no. Because we were worthy of it? No, no, no. 1,000 times no. But because He loves us.
Right. Amen.
He loves us that much.
Yes.
He purifies us. We are set free. Do we understand? No, I don't think we do. I think maybe that is our greatest problem. I know it's mine. We don't really understand all that we have and all that we are in Christ Jesus. If we did, we wouldn't worry near as much, and we wouldn't get upset near as much, and we wouldn't be backbiting and going back and forth over all these little silly things that don't matter. If we could truly understand that we are simply here by the grace and mercy of Jesus, man, I think that would clear up a lot of our problems we have in churches today.
Amen.
He purifies us. He purifies us. He offered Himself once for all. He offered Himself as the Lamb of God. But let us look once more that we are forgiven through Jesus' sacrifice. We are forgiven through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith, R.C. Sproul used to say, contained three elements. Information, that was the first element. We have to understand what took place and what is being recorded here. What took place? Jesus Christ died according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again according to the Scriptures. That is the truth that has been given to us. It is a truth that has been passed down. It is the truth that has been delivered once for all to all the saints. Jesus rose again. They went to the tomb. His body was not there. There were eyewitnesses. Their lives were changed forever. So the information that we need to know is that Christ died for us and that He rose again. But then there's more than just information. A lot of people know that. But then there's belief. It's knowing who to place our faith in. We believe and we trust based on this. It's information. It is belief. Only belief. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. If you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, so you have information, you have belief, but then you have trust. And there's where salvation takes place. When we place our trust in Him. Trust in Jesus. When we simply trust Him to call upon our name. Listen, people want to know, how do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? I know because I trust in Him. That's all I'm trusting in. I've told you that so many times before, and I keep telling myself, the only thing I can trust in for my salvation, if I had to stand before God today, was this. I plead the blood.
Yes.
I claim Jesus. I trusted in Him as my Savior and as my Lord, and I ask Him to forgive me. That's all I'm trusting in.
Yes.
But that's more than enough. That is enough to save us, the Scripture tells us, to the uttermost. Isn't that wonderful? To the uttermost, to the furthest depths, when He reaches down His hand for us. The old song says He had to reach way down for us. We were lost and undone without God or His Son when the Savior reached down for me, for us. We are forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross. Will you trust in Him today? Will you call upon Him? He has made a way. There is a way to God today. There is a way to heaven today. There is a sacrifice available. People say, why is there only one? That's not the right question. Why is there any at all? How could God be so good to give us anyway? Well, He is. And He's given us the way through the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you come? Will you trust in Him today? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we give You thanks. We give You